This is Dave Gloetz. I'm speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Ben wrote the cover story titled Apparently Money Does Grow on Trees that appeared in the April 10th, 2008 edition of The Reader. And he's here with me today to tell the rest of the story. Well, your story talks about the Chicago Park District's headquarters and the fact that they're going to purchase the building that they've been renting in. The Park District, according to your article, made a series of expensive decisions regarding the headquarters, including when it pays property taxes, how much in property taxes the Park District pays, and the decision itself to purchase the building in which the Park District is currently a renter. So let's talk first about that building. The Park District moved into that building on North Fairbanks in 2001 after leaving its former headquarters, and it has been renting space in that building. From the way you write about that location on Fairbanks, I get the idea that you think the Park District would have done better moving elsewhere.
Can I call it the single dumbest move that the Park District has made in the last 20 years? I don't know. Let me think about that one, because that's quite a statement. They make so many of them. But it's an incredibly stupid decision. Moving there was bad, because you're anchoring yourself to a high-rent district. You're anchoring yourself to a building where you have to pay rent. What they should have done is gone to a either Park District property or a city-owned property where they wouldn't have to pay rent and they would never have to pay property taxes. But they claim that there was no such property anywhere in the city of Chicago. I truly doubt that. I believe this was an inside deal. I think that there were forces within the city who made connection with the landlord of the Time Life building. At the time, it was owned by the Teachers Pension Board, and that this was totally a classic inside deal. Furthermore, in their disregard for protecting the public purse, they have absolutely no regard at all for the property taxpayers' dollars. They signed a lease that apparently obligated them to pay the property taxes if the building were sold. So they were stuck with a property tax bill of approximately $679,000 a year. In their infinite wisdom, they decided that in order to spare taxpayers approximately $679,000 a year in property taxes for the next 6 years, or the life of the lease, that totals up to about $3.3 million, as I recall, they were going to buy the building, buy their portion of the building for $22 million. So to save $3.3 million, they were going to spend $22 million. Only a public body that has no regard whatsoever for the consequences to property taxpayers would do something so incredibly boneheaded.
Let's talk about Tim Mitchell, who heads the Park District. He's quoted in your article saying that one of the reasons it's cheaper for the Park District not to move is that it costs $30 million to move computers and other equipment. I got the impression that you didn't buy that.
I ask any citizen in Chicago just to consider this, that there is no place else in the city but this Time Life building where they could drop their computers. I think we talked about this before. You're much more computer-oriented than I am. But in this computer day and age where they got like little boxes of computers, you're telling me you can't just move the computer to City Hall? What about Soldier Field? We just spent $600 million renovating Soldier Field. You're telling me there's not one vacant office space, one vacant office in all of Soldier Field? Maybe we should kick the Bears out of Soldier Field, okay? They're off. They don't need an office in Soldier Field. Maybe we should take over a skybox. I mean, it's just lunacy. And why anybody believes them, I don't know. Why would you believe something so incredible? I go to Park District field houses all over the city. I see tons of vacant space. Move Mitchell and his group to Humboldt Park, the boathouse, for crying out loud. And save everybody some money and put the money where it's really needed.
As I often do with the workings of government agencies when they make decisions that seem irresponsible, I wonder where and how the public could get input and have oversight of these agencies, how the public might intervene. In this case, I concluded this might happen in meetings of the body that ostensibly governs the Park District, which is the Park District Board of Commissioners. What do you think of the Park District Board as a sort of forum for public input and oversight?
They're pretty much typical of most boards, and we discussed this a little bit last week or a couple weeks ago. They're a mixture of insiders and clueless taggerons. In other words, you got a few wheeler dealers like Jerry Chico, who's the head of it, who's a total inside player, former daily chief of staff, sort of a rainmaker, a lobbyist, a guy who makes his living out of lobbying public entities. okay? So he's totally aboard. Whatever the mayor wants, whatever City Hall wants, he's going to facilitate it. And then you have the really nice people who are just serving the public good, who know enough to just sit there and not say a word, and they never say a word. So when you combine those two, the insiders and the clueless people, you have a board that is effectively a rubber stamp. It's no different than the Board of Education. It's no different than the Community Development Commission. It's no different than the Plan Commission, CTA board, I might add. Essentially, all these boards, their purpose in life is to approve whatever program Mayor Daley wants.
So that's the ideal recipe for the rubber stamp, clueless and insiders.
Yeah, clueless and insiders. The insiders basically control the nice people. You got to think about it this way. The nice people are the sheep, and the insiders are like the sheep herders. Okay? And so they herd them toward whatever policy decision. I wasn't at the meeting where they approved this sales deal, but I've talked to Tim Mitchell, and I've heard him defend it, and I've read their press releases defending it. So I can pretty much guarantee that not one Park District board member asked any question, at least in the public hearing. And the other thing about the Park District Board and the Board of Education, they always go into executive session whenever they're going to talk about something of substance. Having never sat in an executive session, having never been on a board, I can only conclude that in executive session, what they do is tell these people how to vote and why it's in their best interest to vote. But board after board, commission after commission, the Landmark Commission, you can go on and on. They just sit there with the blank looks on their face as they approve whatever idiocy they're asked to approve.
They do get paid, don't they?
Not Park District board members as an unpaid position. No, it's an unpaid position. I think the RTA board members get it sort of a stipend of some kind. But no, city boards and commissions are unpaid. They're volunteers.
Have you seen the Better Government Association website where they list salaries of city workers?
No, I haven't seen it. Is it up to date?
It seems fairly up to date.
Okay, yeah. No, I'll have to go check it out. I've seen, of course, the counties, which is always good for a laugh or two. But no, I haven't seen. I'll have to check that one out.
Well, we'll leave it there while Ben goes off and looks at salaries.
Yeah.
Don't blow a gasket. Thanks for joining me today, Ben.
Take care, Dave.
This is Dave Gloatz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.